I heard through the back door of my office this morning that the group who was in the parlor was memorizing scripture verses. It's been a long time since we focus on memorizing scripture verses, so I decided I would challenge your memory. And I'm going to ask you, and maybe somebody who has a microphone can, if somebody stands up, can do this. Who can tell me what the greatest commandment in the Bible is?
I think, love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Well, you've got two. So which one's the first one?
Love the Lord your God with all your...
Yes. Love the Lord your God with everything that you have. What is... Okay, here you go. Hope you were listening. What's the second greatest commandment? What? Say that out loud, Martin.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Yes, but you don't get points because Teresa already told you that one. When Jesus, at one point when he was teaching, somebody said to him, "Teacher, which of the commandments is in the law is the greatest commandment?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment." And then he said, "And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." I find it really interesting that he started that with, "And a second is like it." Not, "And this one comes after that one," but it's just the same. Just the same as loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul is loving your neighbor as yourself. They're the same kind of a thing, because whenever we love each other, we are loving God. It's very, very difficult to figure out how we actually live out loving God unless it's through loving each other. So every time you do something good for your neighbor, you are loving God. Every time you, I love Paul's words in Ephesians when he talks about the church and what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to love each other. He essentially says, you have to put up with each other in love. So every time you put up with each other in the church, you're loving God. Every time you love your children well, you are loving God. Every time you love your parents or your siblings well, you are loving God. The second is just like it. When we love each other, we're loving God. So the question is, what does that kind of love look like? It's all well and good to say, well, sure, I love them. I'm nice to them. Is that really what it means? I laugh with them. Is that really what it means? Ephesians gives us the answer in that quick verse. It came floating down from the balcony in Ephesians 5:21, when the author writes, "Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ." This word, "be subject to," also submission, that's how we love each other. That's how we love God. Now, I understand that that word is kind of a bad word, but at least for feminists who grew up very angry about a culture that said, women, you must submit to your husbands, because what that meant was, women, you should obey your husbands. Women, you should do whatever your husbands say. Women, you have no voice. You have no person. You are nothing. So when that all gets heaped upon it, that's a bad word. But none of that is what the word means when it's used in Ephesians. That idea of submission is not the same as oppression. And I think it's really important that we make that distinction. We don't love God by oppressing others or by allowing ourselves to be oppressed. Oppression happens when you have somebody who has power, somebody who has authority, who says, everybody else, you have to take your positions beneath me, below me, and you have to just serve me. Oppression is about coercing or forcing other people to serve because you have power and they don't have power. Submission is not about force. It's not about coercion. Submission is a choice that we make. If you don't have the freedom to make the choice, then you can't freely submit. And so when the author of Ephesians says that we should be subject to one another out of reverence to Christ, he's not saying, okay, those of you in power, you need to force your way, force the ways of things, force my rules on everybody else who doesn't have power, who's less than you somehow. It's instead, you need to voluntarily set aside your rights in the presence of each other. You need to mutually submit. And so I skipped over the part because it's Mother's Day and I wanted to focus on parents and children. But in between 5:21 and 6:1 in Ephesians, the two sections that we read, in between that is all these words that we don't usually read around, you know, husbands and wives. This is the part that gets always taken out of context. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. There's a lot of writing, a lot of research on that. But essentially, what it's all about is mutually choosing to submit to each other. What the author here is talking about is he's saying, how do you love God? You love God by loving each other. How do you love each other? By submitting to each other, both of you. Not by allowing yourself to be oppressed, and not by in turn turning around and pressing and oppressing those who have less strength or less power than you do, but by mutually submitting to each other. I think it's good that I'm single because I don't think that I could do marriage very well at this point. I'm kind of old and set in my ways. And those of you who are married know that you have to sometimes give in to the other person. You know, sometimes you have to let them eat the last brownie that's on the counter. Or sometimes you have to be the one who gets out of bed when the baby cries. You have to give and take, don't you? You have to put aside sometimes your own selfishness for the other person's well-being. Well, let me tell you, when you're single and you live alone, you don't have to. You can always get the last brownie. You can always get the best leftovers. And there's no baby crying. Let me tell you, I sleep better than a lot of you. That's not really true because we all have to submit to each other regardless of whether it's in the family unit or not. But it starts in the family unit. In Roman society, in Greco-Roman society, it was understood that all of society was built upon the family household. And so there was a required sense of order that needed to be in the family household if society was going to be strong. If the families were falling apart, then society was going to fall apart. I mean, look at our own society. Our families are falling apart, and so is our society, because we've given up on this entire idea of submission. We don't put other people ahead of ourselves. Instead, we fight and we scream for our rights. We shout out, how dare you push me down? How dare you require me to submit? How dare you require anything of me? I have rights. I'm a person with dignity. And I choose to set that aside for your dignity and for your rights and for your well-being. That's what submission is. And if we could just get that, our entire country would be different. Our entire world would be different. If it wouldn't be all about us and clamoring for what we need and what we want, but we could instead put the other people in our lives ahead of us, how much better would that be? It starts with parents and children. Now I know, like I'm astonished when I watch parents, how much they're willing to do for their kids, how many times during the night they're willing to get up. The fact that they're falling over exhausted, the fact that they can't form a coherent sentence because they haven't slept in a year, and they still stumble out of bed to go find out what their baby needs because their baby's crying. You know, their kid skins a knee and you're looking at it going, oh, that's not a big deal. But that's not what you say to your kid. You go and you kiss their knee. You make it better because somehow that's the magic. And if there's blood, you put a Band-Aid on it because that's the other magic that works for scraped knees, right? If your child is in trouble, you're always there. It doesn't matter what you were doing. What was the most important thing in your life? You leave it behind to go answer the cry and the call of your kid because that's what parents do. Now, I know that not all parents manage to do that, but we're talking about what good parents are supposed to do in this. That's the call of being a parent, is to serve your children, to raise them up to be good, strong men and women. And you do that by over and over and over again, proving to them how much they're loved. You know, Philippians, Paul wrote this. He wrote, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God," you know this, Jesus Christ, God Almighty, had his own throne, had all divinity, had the angels at his beck and call, "who, though he was in the form of God, didn't regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness." Jesus Christ could have come as a conquering hero, as the great soldier on a stallion ready to conquer the world and make everything submit to God the way it was supposed to be. But that's not how he did it. He came as a little tiny baby, completely dependent upon human fallible parents. And he lived and he died at the hands of humanity. He completely and absolutely submitted himself to God's will. And how did he do that? By submitting himself to the people around him. He loved people so much that he let them kill him. He loved them so much that he was not oppressed by them. He submitted to them. It was a choice that he made. That's the difference. Oppression is thrust upon you. Submission is a choice that you make. You can only make it if you've got freedom to make that choice. Jesus Christ is our model of what it's supposed to be, of what it looks like to love each other. And it starts in the home, in the household. It starts with me, with my parents, when they call, being willing to set aside what I'm working on to answer their call, what it is that they need. My sisters, my brother, my niece. It starts with our families. It starts with your mother, with your father, with your siblings, with your own children. Set aside yourself and your rights for them. And they do the same to you. This is the key. And this, I think, is one of the transformational things. One of the things that's going to transform our world is if even just all the Christian families could get this. If there could be mutual submission in the home of the Christian families, where men and women loved each other in this way, where they treated their children with respect and dignity, and where children in turn were taught to treat their parents with respect and dignity. You know, if we build up our kids so that they know they have worth, then they can choose to submit. If we just push them down and force them down, then there's no choice. That's just oppression. And likewise, if your parents are if your children are oppressing you, because I know sometimes that happens in the home as well. That's not okay. It's not oppression. It's submission. Parents, it's about making the choice to submit to the needs of your children. It's not about letting your children oppress you. This whole idea of submission is what loving Christ is about. We love God by loving each other. And how do we love each other? We love each other by mutually submitting to each other. Submission implies a voluntary setting aside of our power. It's a decision that communicates the worth of the other person. As soon as I'm willing to say, I will set aside my rights for you, you've just said, you are worth more than my rights. What a powerful statement that is. You know, your kids, when they're 3, when they're 4, when they're 5, they don't get it. They don't know. They just assume that it's their due. Of course they're worth it. They're the center of the universe. And of course their parents are going to put everything into them. But as they grow up, they start to see with different eyes. They start to understand how you have repeatedly submitted to them. And that will translate into them and into their families and into their way with the world. The best possible example of submission in my mind is a mother or a father. The tireless, countless ways that you serve your children. You know, the countless times you get up in the night with a crying baby. Those dads who you see going prom dress shopping with their girls with no idea what those... I had a friend posted on Facebook, his daughter with a great big grin standing in front of the makeup section of a Shopper's Drug Mart. And his post was, "What is this?" But he was there with her, helping her look pretty. When you set aside your needs because your adult child calls you because they have a problem. You know, they're 45 years old and they still call home to mom and dad because they need you, and you put aside things for them. All of these to me are the best examples of what this kind of love is like. It starts in our homes. It grows from there into how we treat each other in the church. And from there, it grows out and it transforms our entire world, our country, our community, all of the places where we are. How do your parents know that you love them? You know, so often we hear these verses about, you know, honor your mother and father, obey your parents, and we think of little children. And we kind of look at the little children and we go, didn't you hear the Bible said, obey your parents, now go to your room, right? Like we think about it as if for little children. But the reality is, Ephesians wasn't written for little children. Ephesians was written for an adult community of people who had already decided they were going to follow Christ as the way that they live their lives. Little children who are 5 haven't generally been able to make that kind of a decision, at least not fully knowing what's involved. This was written to those of us who are adult children, every person in this room, adult children who have said that we will follow Christ, that we love Christ, that we love God. How will we show that? By loving and honoring and obeying our parents, even at this age of our lives. What does it mean? It means we care for them when they can't care for themselves anymore. It means just as they are consistently willing to drop everything for us, we need to be willing to put aside the busyness and chaos of our lives to be there with them. It means stopping every once in a while to have lunch, to have coffee, to pick up the phone and talk to our parents. That's a key thing. Ephesians was not written to little children saying, you little children, you need to obey your parents. You need to honor your parents. It was written to us. Honor your mother and father. Submission is really hard. And I know that you know that. And I know that probably like me, as often as you maybe do well with it, you also fail. And as much as you might be at home constantly making room for the other people, there might be a voice, a bitterness creeping up inside of you going, why is it always me giving? Why don't I ever get the good leftovers? Why doesn't he ever wake up with the baby? I think that's probably the way that voice usually goes. And we have to watch that, because that speaks to our selfish desires to want to be important and be somebody. Submission is hard, even when it's with our own kids. You know, I have memories. My mom tells me they're false memories, but I have memories. My mom had 4 kids, all of us about 2 years apart from each other. And I don't know how she did it, but I have memories of her sending us outside to play and locking the door behind us because she needed a moment of peace and quiet. She swears she never locked us out of the house, but I'm pretty sure she did. If I was a mom with 4 kids, I would lock them out of the house. It's really hard to take this attitude of submission. But this is the thing. We aren't left to do it on our own. About 4 weeks ago, I preached on the word agape. There are 3 different words in Greek for love. And agape is the kind of love that God showed us when Jesus was crucified on the cross. It's that kind of complete self-sacrificing, self-giving love that we are completely incapable of doing on our own. That's what submission is. It's the kind of love that we are completely incapable of doing on our own. We might try. We might go into your marriage with the best of intentions. And then, you know, the honeymoon gets old and you start to get frustrated with each other, or you've been married for 20 years and it's just very routine and you forget all of this. It's hard to submit because we are, in the way that we're created, we're just selfish people. It's part of our humanity, which, praise God, will be erased when we get our new bodies and the new kingdom comes. But for now, that's something that we always have to wrestle with. Submission is really hard. But we are not left to our own devices to love each other or to love God. We are not left to our own devices to be able to submit to each other in our homes or in our communities. In Philippians 4:13, Paul wrote, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Paul understood that there were things about living a Christian life that were completely impossible without the power of the Spirit making it possible in us. The first commandment is to love the Lord your God. That means the first commandment is to submit yourself to the ways of God. And how do we do this? We do this by submitting to the people around us who are in our families, who are in our churches. We submit ourselves to God, which means we make space for the Spirit of God to love others through us. We aren't on our own to do this. When you find yourself getting frustrated with your kids, with your parents, with your siblings, with the other people you're sitting beside in the church pew, whoever it might be, that's when we fall on our knees and we turn to God and we say, God, I cannot love this person anymore. I need you to love them through me. I cannot submit anymore. I need you to submit through me. That's what it's about. Parenting, let me tell you, parenting, I believe, is one of the highest callings on our planet. I don't think that there is a job that is harder than parenting. And I don't care if you're a family that goes to church every Sunday and you love God desperately, there is no guarantee that your kids are going to be easy. Parenting is hard, but you don't have to do it by yourself. The Spirit of God is there to empower you and build you up and make it possible.